Please turn to page 26. Parshas Noach. 26 in the Chumash. Well, the story of Noah begins before Parshas Noah. Page 26. Did y'all see my Torah talk in the announcements this week? My table talk? Yeah. So at this point, I'll point it out because it's.
Do we get the prize?
Yes.
Michael,
you got it. Yes, you get the prize. You did actually.
Right.
So, I'll send it home with you. Okay.
Uh-huh.
What?
Yeah. I didn't get the prize. I got Washington State.
26. But you can get it on email.
That's right. Friday morning.
She sends it on the email. Page 26. Thank you. Thank you. Vayechi Lemech. This is page 26, Pesach Chav Tes. Shaim Ushmonim Shana Ma'ash Shana Vayoled Ben. Lamech lived 182 years and then he had a son. You know, it's so interesting how much of history passes in Parshas Bereishis and Noah. Literally thousands of years pass in the Parshiot of Bereishis and Noah. I mean, these people, you know, we live 20 years, 25 years, 30 years and have a child. 182 years and we have a child. It's a long, long time.
That's pretty good.
That's right.
Doesn't say anything.
Nikki doesn't get any credit.
Okay. Vayikra Pasach Haftes et Shimo Noach, Lemoy. He called him Noach, saying, Ze yinachanenu mima'asenu umitvon yadenu min ha'adama asher erira Hashem. Ze, this child, will console us from our actions, umeitzvon yadenu, from the sadness of our hands, from the land that God had cursed. So Rashi is a very... What?
From all that he got Noach.
Yenachamenu, Noach.
No.
Yeah. So Rashi says, a very interesting Rashi. Look at Rashi on Chavtesh. This is in the table talk, but it's interesting to note. Yaniach mimenu et itzvon yadenu. Rashi says he will yaniach, not from yinachamenu, but yaniach. What is it? No.
Rest.
Right. Rest. Noach is from nach, from rest, not from nechama or comfort. So he's going to let us put our hands down. Why? Ad shelo ba Noach lo haya lehem kli machrisha. Until Noach came, they didn't have any plowing tools. V'hu heichim lahem. And Noah invented the plow. V'ha'isha ha'aretz mochia kochim b'dardarim k'shazarim chitim mikelas ha'shul adam arishon. Until Noah's time, so how would you plant? If you don't know how to plow, you don't have a hoe, what do?
By hands.
Rocks or whatever. How much wheat you're going to get when you're planting, when you're doing by hands?
Very little.
Very little. B'nei Noah, nacha. In the days of Noah, nacha. V'zehu yinachamenu. That's what it means, yinachamenu. He will let our hands rest. Yinach mimenu. They will rest from us. V'imlo tifarseihu kach. Because if you don't say this, ein halatam halashon nofel al Hashem. Then the language wouldn't fit the name. V'atatzarech likros shemo Menachem. Says if the name Noah, if it was really calling him because of the comfort and the consolation, says Rashi, his father Lamech would not have named him Noah, he would have named him Menachem. Because he named him Noah, it must mean not that he's going to bring us consolation, but he's going to bring us rest. So that's what Rashi says. This is very interesting, Rashi. So I conjectured, I wondered in my little piece, I said, it only makes you wonder though, Noah did not invent a plow as a child. He must have been at least 20 years old when he invented the plow. So his father named him Noach at 20. What did they call him from the first 20 years of his life? Hey, you? That's what Rashi says. Other Mepharshim say that they called him Noach even before when he was born. Why? Because Noach was the tenth generation, I think. And the 10th generation is considered something of significance and specialness. And you see, like, the whole world is going to pot around you, and all of a sudden the 10th generation of man is born. And you hope that this 10 will be a rebirth. And that's very interesting the way numbers are, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And then at 10, the digits return to 0. It's a rebirth. It's a starting over. So the tenth is always considered a rebirth, a regeneration, and that's a symbolism that his father named him Noah because of that reason, and he should bring about a regeneration. Okay? Vayihi lemech acharei ledoat Noach, so lemech after he gave birth to Noach lived, chameshet tishim shana v'chamesh me'el shana, he only lived another 595 years.
I think it was not the right way to was counting. Now.
What do you mean? Not real life? Not the way that, not the same years?
No. Because we don't know how it was counting.
No. I think in these years, it was clearly talking about the regular years. That these men lived much longer lives. What? How long did Adam live?
900.
Right, Adam lived 900 and... 930, correct. Right. No pollution. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt that it was too long. And after Noah, it all of a sudden it gets much shorter. Abraham Avinu gets 175 and lower and lower and lower. Right, it's way too long. Way too long. If you have too much time yet, if you don't know what to do with yourself, what do? You start getting into trouble. Right, you get into trouble, that's right. Well, what's the phrase?
Idleness.
I thought there's like, I'm sure there's a good quick idle mind, something.
Yeah.
Right, no, nothing to do. You're bored.
Idle plans and things to say to.
Something like that, yeah.
Why can't we say that if a generation is about 20 years old in this 10th generation, why can't we make the assumption that years in that time were shorter space?
Why would you say that? A year is a year. The generation wasn't 20 years. Lamech took 180 years before he had Noah, before he had his first child. You know it is when you're young, 100, 150, you still want to sell your wild roots, your wild oats, and then 180, 182, I'll figure I'll settle down and have a family.
He waited until
he went to college, got his PhD, got his postdoc, went to college again. 182, you know, hey, honey, let's have a family. Right. It's time. So what you're thinking of, when the Torah says a year, why would you think any differently?
Well, with a year, I do think of a year with, you know, four seasons.
Oh, you can't think of a year with four seasons until after Parshas Noah. So you mean that until then, until it changed. It's hard to say. A year is a revolution of the earth around the sun. Regardless of, and we'll talk about this if we get there, regardless of whether the earth revolves around, whether the earth spins on an equator on a direct line, or whether the earth is on an axis. You know, when the seasons changed, says the Sforno, we probably won't get to this later on, that what happened was, if you know your astronomy, you'll understand that when the Earth revolves around the Sun, it revolves in an oval shape, right? If this is the Earth, right, in an elliptical shape. But it doesn't revolve on a direct axis either. When the Earth is spinning, it revolves on an angle, and then, and the Earth is spinning, it's very hard to visualize. So the Earth does not rotate on the axis of the equator corresponding to the Sun. If the Earth rotated on the axis of the equator, you would always have spring all the time, because it would be equally divided. The seasons would be equally divided throughout the entire earth. But instead, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned the earth, and it spins not on the axis. And that axis rotates up and back as it goes around the sun. Everybody got all that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure.
I also know what I'm talking about. You have to do it. You have to have a really good model. I mean, it's very, very complicated. You learn this stuff when you learn, you learn Maseches Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara talks about how they would evaluate the Kiddush HaChodesh and the new year, and when the moon appears. Very, very heavy stuff. So the what you're saying, but the earth, what I'm trying to say to you is that the earth was still revolving around the sun once a year. That is a year. It's hard to say that when God says years, it doesn't mean real years. Now what you're referring to, I think, and what you're suggesting is the oft-asked question, science has decided that the earth is now 5,764 years old. Science has decided now that the earth is 50 gazillion years old. Now, what science says, you have to give me any example of human civilization before 5,000 years ago. So I don't really understand. And how could you have man? Was man grunting for 2 million years? Nobody ever figured out how to say hello before 2 million years, before 5,000 years ago? I don't know. Whatever. Fine. But nonetheless, They decided, how could it be that the earth is 50 million years old through carbon dating? But the Torah says it's only 5,000 years old. So there are a couple of very easy answers. One, carbon dating is wrong. Just because carbon decays over 10 years in a certain way doesn't mean it decays uniformly over a billion years. That's one. That's one suggestion. Another suggestion is that the nature of carbon dating changed when the Kadosh Baruch Hu changed the earth after Noah. It's another suggestion. So the third suggestion that Alice is referring to is a possible suggestion that the days that were mentioned in creation are different form days, different timeline days than the days that we have today. And that's a possibility. Because before God created the actual earth, it's impossible to know when God created the heavens and the earth. What heavens, what earth? You know, did God create the planets then, or the planets coming later on? I don't know. So that's a possibility. That's something that Torah-oriented scientists suggest. Yeah.
What is 5,000?
From the end of, let's assume, from the end of creation, the earth is, and the creation of man, the earth is 5,764 years old. That's what I believe. In years. Straight up.
So roughly from the day Chava faced in hell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they went to the seer. Very good. From the day, right. Well, from that day, 5,700, and it's chronicled in the Torah. Right? You know, and...
Did you try to record it back on?
Yeah. It's on. Yeah. Yes.
Scientists found, it was very interesting, that when the atomic bomb fell on Hiroshima, the land that they... looked at afterwards was the same as billions of years according to the carbon.
Really?
Yes.
So all I can tell you is science is an ever-evolving process. It's an ever-evolving science, as it were. Right? Science changes. The Torah's been the same all along. Okay? And as science changes and adapts and they revisit different theories, the Torah will still remain the same. I just saw, I was reading today, an article in the New York Times science section. There's this big argument among nuclear physicists. I didn't really understand the article totally. They have this theory they've come up with, and the problem is that the scientists can't deal with is the following. Every universe has certain settings. How heavy is the mass? How much gravity does the sun have? Every universe has certain, you know, important settings. And the settings have to be unbelievably precise in order for life to exist in the universe. And it just so happens that our universe, all these important gravitational settings and cosmic settings and X-ray settings, I don't even know what they are, all these settings and coefficients and this and that are perfect, just right, so that life can exist in our universe. So they're trying to figure out, how could it be that all of the gazillions of universes that could exist in the world, that it just so happens that ours happens to have all the right settings for life to exist? And the amazing thing is, the one thing scientists cannot, they're not allowed to bring themselves to say is, because somebody made it that way. They have to have series of probability and possibility and this kind of theory and that kind of theory. But in the world of science, if you would get up and say, maybe there's a God, no, that's not scientific. So instead you come up with some unbelievably ridiculous and implausible theory, you know, that you can conjecture and reject or not reject, and say, oh, this is science. But to say, well, we can't explain it, then that's not scientific.
They should listen to your
question.
You should ask them about it.
Yeah, they should have listened. Okay. Something very interesting. What's interesting about this pasuk?
Sounds like
it's perfect. Eshem, Eshem, Eshem. Okay, maybe they are. What else is interesting? Who's the mother? Well, Blanche always says, where's the mother, right? In genealogy, the mother's name doesn't figure in genealogy, but she raised them. It's okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
Remember, as I read that Noah's wife's name was Naamah.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Because she had a son, and she was the first one to have a son, and it was, she could do some work.
Mm-hmm.
Because without the son, you can't work.
Well, how did the rabbis? They all have sons. Mm-hmm.
Yes, but this is during Noah's. She was the first one with a thumb, and so he made it.
What else is, but what's interesting, what's curious about the details of the pasuk?
500
years.
This is
500 years, as opposed to?
200.
Right, everybody else only waits 180 years to have children. Noah waits 500 years to have children.
Well,
Maybe he couldn't find the right woman.
Maybe he couldn't find the right woman. He had trouble with Shidduchim. He was busy. He's on date number. He's on date number 6,747. And the Rebbe say. And the Rebbe says, Noach, maybe you're a little too picky. And he says, no, I'm gonna find her. I know she's out there.
Yeah.
Says Rashi. Rashi. So understand. Anytime you read Rashi, you have to realize Rashi is asking a question. Ben Chamesh Mir Shana, Amr Rav Yudin. So Rashi is again quoting a midrash. Matam Koladoros Haluda the Kuf Shana Vizelit Tuf Kuf. Everybody else, 100 years, 200 years, 180 years. He's 500. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, God said, Im Rishayim Heim Yovedu B'mayim. If his children are evil, then they'll be killed, they'll be lost. V'rav the Tzadik Zeh. And it's going to be bad for this righteous man. V'im Tzadikim Heim. And if they're righteous, Atriach Alav Lasos Tevos Harbe. So therefore, it's going to be hard for him to make a lot of tevos. So therefore, Kavash Esme Eino V'lo Holid Ad Tof Kuf Shana. So therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu prevented Noach from having children until Noach was 500 years old. Kidei Shelo Yehe Yefes Gadol Shebebanav Rai Le'on Shifnei HaMavo. That Yefes wouldn't be old enough that he'd be responsible for his own behavior before the Mabul. Very, very interesting. It wasn't that Noach decided not to have children, says Rashi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was compassionate upon Noach, that Noach shouldn't have the burden of having either evil children or have children and grandchildren and Enoch and have to buy all those plane tickets on the...
Three sons.
What? Yeah, but the three sons were only born right before the Mabul.
But they imagine with the wives going under...
Yeah, well, that's enough. 10. Imagine if he had children at 100, he would have had children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren. There's no room on the table for 50, 50, 60, 70, 80 people.
And all those animals.
Yeah,
the animals. Right, yeah. Why didn't they live?
The boat was...
I don't know.
Very tiny. Small.
I mean, I can understand that.
So much cute.
Mm-hmm.
Just
so much
plain.
I don't know. What does it say for the other ones?
Who knows?
Now each one it says Vayolid Bani Mubanos, Vayolid, Vayolid Itlamach. It's following that.
Why?
What?
Why?
Vayolid Lo?
Didn't
nah, Chas well, I'm not sure.
It says here
okay.
Well.
Also, Perek Vav. Vayikich Hechel Ha'am Ha'adam. When man began to increase upon the ground and daughters were born to them, and so the man liked the ladies and they took women. How does that sound to you? Anything they wanted. How does it sound? Sure. Why are you saying that? I just want to know how does Mikol Asher Bachara sound. They took whatever they wanted.
Greedy.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good. Yeah. It's interesting you say that, Rizal, because you obviously have read Rashi already. Rashi says, Mikol Asher Bachara, Af Be'ulas Baal, even married women, Af HaZachar V'HaBehema, even bestiality, even homosexuality. They did whatever they wanted. It's a free society. Everybody should be able to do whatever they want, you know? People do whatever they want. Yeah, I don't know. Interesting. Pasuk Gimel.
If it says Asher Bachar, it doesn't mean the ones that they had chosen.
What's that?
Didn't Asher Bachar.
Whatever they chose.
Whatever
correct.
That means they would have chose maybe good ones.
Nikol Asher Bachar, it sounds to me like Rashi. That's the way it sounds to me. That they chose whatever they wanted. Meaning, when a person chooses, it's so interesting that, we have this argument going on in America today about this very same issue, about do we afford... social benefits, they're called, social security and health insurance and et cetera, to partners and to life partners. Why should we, and the way they say it, it's so interesting, they take the offensive. Why should we deny people who make a life choice the equal rights under the protection of the law of the same social benefits we afford married people? So I look at it the other way. Why should I, as a citizen of the United States, be forced to pay for somebody else's life choice? No, you can look at it both ways. So somebody wrote a letter in the paper and it said, you know, people have the right to make whatever choices they want, and who are we to impose our choices upon them? It just sounds like the world right before the Bible. Every time I read things like this, it's very, very frightening. You know, it's really very frightening. Oh, you know, we are an egalitarian society, and we're open-minded, and who are we to make decisions about what people should or shouldn't do? You know, unfortunately, in America, that's correct. You shouldn't make a decision about what people should or shouldn't do, but you have the right to tell them. You can't say what they can or can't do, but you should tell them what they should or shouldn't do. Okay. Vayomer Hashem, Lo yadun ruchi ba'adam le'olam, b'shagam hu bashar. Let's see the article. God said, my spirit shall not contain ever more concerning man, since he is but flesh. B'shagam hu bashar. So you should only have 120 years. What does God basically say? Yeah, too much. Right? Too much life. It's too much physicality. Not enough spirituality. Okay, let's skip a little bit. Pasuk Hey. Mayar Hashem ki rabba ra'at ha'adam ba'aretz. God saw that great was the evil in the land. B'chol yetzer ma'asevo sivo rak ra'kov hayom. And every product of the thoughts of his heart was evil all the time. Vayinachem Hashem, he asa es ha'adam ba'aretz, vayishatzeiz el libo. God regretted that he created man, vayishatzeiz el libo. Vayishatzeiz el libo is what we would call an anthropomorphism. That's a very fancy word for saying, for attributing manly attributes to God. God became saddened in his heart. There's a very fundamental problem with this. There's a fundamental ethical problem, philosophical problem with this. What is the fundamental philosophical problem with this?
Didn't God know that they were going to be bad people?
Correct. God does not make mistakes. So if God does not make mistakes, why does it seem like God thinks he made a mistake?
Because he made people. I mean, God is behind the creation of all the people.
Was that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, he says now that it was bad.
Well, that's what I'm asking you. I've got a real problem with that.
Right.
If I believe that God is perfect, how could God create something that was so disheartening and so disappointing? Did God make a mistake?
Well, that's
true. Yeah, we gave us three. Was that a mistake? Yeah.
Yeah,
it was a mistake. Well, prove to me that it wasn't a mistake. That's a very easy way to prove to me that it wasn't a mistake.
He left one man alive to create.
Correct. Okay, we're stuck with a very big problem. This is why I wanted to start with Horatius before we came to Noah. Parshas Noah creates a very, very huge problem. An enormous problem. Noah, in Parshas Noah, basically, God destroys the world. Why? Because man is evil. Mm-hmm. So, I have a very fundamental question.
Why leave
Noah? Why leave what? Why leave anything?
Because he was righteous. Start over again.
So what, he was righteous? Let us read the pasuk again. Vayar Hashem ki rabba ra'at hadam ba'aretz. Man is bad. V'chol yetzer machshivot libo rak ra'kol hayom. And the desires of man are only evil all day. Kol hayom. Always. It's a pretty condemning, pretty damning thing. How do you define bad?
Bad to the core.
What's bad? Bad? You know, it's so interesting. This is a very philosophical fear, I guess we'll call it. How do you define what's good and bad?
There are certain rules that we have to obey in order to survive as decent people.
Okay.
They do not choose any way to be decent, but they just take into
the... Mr. Zoberg, you didn't answer my question. You just restated it in another way. Hold on. What defines decent or indecent, Mrs. Robert, then?
He has the qualities of
people who do not obey any rules of of what is...
Try to answer my question without restating the question. Here's the question. Here's the question. What is the definition of good and evil?
Whatever someone defines as good and evil at the time.
Who's someone?
So
obviously society didn't decide anything.
It said that.
Society said you're free to do whatever you want.
But God decided they were evil.
God's way.
Well, God decided they were evil.
Yeah.
On what scale? Yeah.
This scale.
That's not. Oh, but hold on. That's. It's a very interesting to me. I don't know the answer to that question. I have to do more research. What Rizal is asking is, hey, what about the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach? We're going to come to that. Right? In the Chumash, it's not yet. I think it's a machlokas among the Tanaim, I think. Correct. It would make sense, but where do we see any reference to it?
Yeah, but who was Noach at that time to make those
rules? Who said Noach made any rules?
Yeah.
So, I mean, when we talk about good and bad, we have a very, very definite measure. How do I decide what's good and bad, what's right and wrong?
If you live up to the Torah.
I've got a Torah. What do you do before there's a Torah?
You didn't have a Torah then.
You just go on your own.
And then what happens?
Then, right.
Which is why I think Chazal found it hard to believe that God would leave man outside of the Garden of Eden without Shiva Mitzvah B'nai Noach, without something, without anything. But the interesting thing is, in the Torah, there's no record of Shiva Mitzvah B'nai Noach until Parshas Noach. And we're going to see, that's basically the upshot, we'll get to it.
Was Noach there?
What? It's like that. It's like that book, what is it called, Animal Farm? That famous Orwell book, Animal Farm. What happens, right, when you leave people to their own devices?
Energy.
It wasn't chaos in Animal Farm, if I recall correctly. It just wasn't chesed. It wasn't kindness.
Was Noah really that good? But he was
to me, it doesn't matter. All I'm saying to you is, man is evil, but on what scale? In God's scale. So we know what God's scale is. So if God made man and man is evil, then why would God continue? End the experiment, right? Take the petri dish, throw it out. People do it all the time, right? Did the experiment work? No, failure. Okay, failure. Nice try.
Throw it out.
Start again. Or don't start again. No, he didn't start over. He didn't start over.
Noah, he started with Noah.
I'll give you a terrible analogy. I mean, it's a frightening analogy. Right? A person, Noah Leidu, suffers from cancer. Right? When the doctors attack that cancer, they have to attack and kill every single cancer cell. Every single one. Why? Because if they leave one,
it'll start over
again. It'll spread, multiply and spread. Have to eradicate every single one. If man is a virus, if man is bad, if man is evil, you don't leave him to propagate and start over. So why does God?
He has the potential to be good.
Well, certainly Noah is an exception, no? Hashem, Hashem. Oh, by the way, so it says, so we had a problem. The reason I started with this is, God was upset. God had remorse. So says Rashi, first Rashi says, man became upset. Man was despondent. What's the purpose of life here? That's one Rashi. Second Rashi, see, skip down. Three lines on the bottom. Nitabel al Abdan Ma'asei Yadav. Rashi says that God wasn't upset about the creation. He didn't regret creating man. What was he upset about?
When he acted.
No, he was upset that he would then have to destroy man. That's what he was upset about. So Rashi avoids this whole philosophical problem altogether. God didn't make a mistake. God wasn't upset about creation. God was upset that he has to correct it. It's sad that you have to kill out mankind almost. That's a sad thing. That's what Hashem was upset about. So we're left with our fundamental question. What's going to be different? What's going to be better? And then, it's interesting you say this, the Noach matzah chen b'nei Hashem. Noach found favor in the eyes of God.
Yeah, so I guess he was pretty good. Compared to those who lived in his generation.
Let's ask a hypothetical question. That no one can answer. What if there wasn't a Noah? What if Noah wasn't a good guy? Would God have destroyed the world?
Somebody else.
God would have created him.
What? Okay. Okay. So let's skip. I don't know. It's hard to know. Okay. We know Noah was, we know the whole flood, blah, blah, blah. Let's skip to the end of the flood.
Page
38. Oh, here. Vayidaber, Pasuk Tes Vav. Vayidaber Elohim El Noah. God spoke to Noah. Came in Hateva. Interesting. What's interesting about that?
Get out of the teva.
What's so interesting about that? Leave the teva. Leave the ark. What's interesting?
God had to tell him.
Yeah.
Well, as soon as everything was dry,
right.
God told him to go out of the ark.
Yeah. What?
And he told him to go out of the ark.
No. Safe to leave. He already waited till it dried, reached 7 months.
Yeah.
It says the passage before, "V'chodesh Hashani b'shiva aliyasim yom l'chodesh yavsha ha'aretz." The land dried. I don't know about you. If you cooped me up in young Israel with my entire family and every animal in the known world, no, they hadn't multiplied. The Midrash did not multiply.
Even each other at the door together.
Get me out of here!
Be anxious to go with an
animal.
The noise alone. Can you imagine the conditions on that ark?
It must have been something.
For a year, something fierce. Oh, just terrible.
I don't blame you off the drinking.
I wasn't going to talk about that today. I'm still not going to. We make light of it, but that it's a big problem. It's an issue. Shein min ha-teva, leave the teva, even with the filth and the noise and the difficulty. Noah still didn't want to leave the teva. Why not? What's out there?
He has no idea.
Nothing.
Nothing, that's right. He didn't know what was going to find.
The fear of the unknown, and the fear of starting over must be intense, must be fantastic. And in a sense, Noah says, I've got my world here.
You got used to it.
Yeah. I don't know if you get used to it as much as it's better here than whatever is out there, to have to rebuild, to have to start over, to have to rebuild the world. In a sense, perhaps Noah says that Kadosh Baruch Hu, you destroyed the world.
You make it.
Build it up.
You fix it. I'm not building it up. Or, very often people after the Holocaust had this feeling as well. Look at the decimation. I'm going to bring children into a world like that. Very interesting. So a person could say, no way. I'm going to stay in the ark. I'm not rebuilding. I'm not starting over. Because I don't want this to happen again. What's going to happen? I'm going to have children. We're going to build the world. Noah is faced with our problem as well. You're going to build up. You're going to build in a beautiful American Jewish community.
For what?
Right? For what?
Just to be destroyed again.
Just to be destroyed again? And who among us is going to say that that's not going to happen? History teaches us that undoubtedly it will. In our lifetimes, after our lifetimes, hard to know. What probably will happen is it will bring about the coming of Mashiach. It's the last uncharted territory. But Noah says, I need to build for what? I'm looking at the long view. You're just going to destroy it again. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, same in Hateva. You don't have a choice. You have to leave the ark. Ata, v'ishtecha, Uvanecha unishei vanecha itach. All of you, get out. Start building again. Yizayim kol achaya asher itcha mikol basar ba'ub ba'behima ובכל רמש הרמז על הארץ הוצא איתך ושרצו בארץ ופערו ורבו על הארץ. You have to do, you have to rebuild, you have to take the animals out, פערו ורבו, right? Who is Noah going to be like now? Very good, right? The parallels are clear, many parallels. If you look in the Hamalibus, if you have this book, they're recommended buying it, very good. I don't know if it's not blue and white anymore, the Hamalibus and the Torah. One of her lessons is the comparisons between Noah and Adam HaRisha. And the linguistic comparisons are there. Peru Uruvu Al Ha'aretz.
That's exactly
what they said. To Adam. Vayetei Noach Uvanav V'ishto Unasei Vanav Ito. So Noach did it. Kol HaChaya, Kol Remez V'chol Ov, Kol Remez Al Ha'aretz, and Mishpechoseim Yatsu Min HaTeva. So they all left. Vayiven Noach Mizbeach LaHashem. Noach built an altar to God. Vayikach mikol behema ha-tahora, umikol ha-of ha-tahora, vayal olot ba-mizbeach. And Noach took the animals that were extra, right? He took the animals that were pure, and he offered them as an offering to God on the mizbeach. Okay? So that's pretty good. It's a good start. Why did Noach make the sacrifice? Anybody know?
How did he know to do it?
How did Cain know to do it?
I was just going to ask that question. Cain
did the animals multiply?
I don't think so. But remember,
but then how many?
Right, because the pure ones, God told him to take extra seven.
Oh, seven.
But I know I've basically deduced these are the extras, so God must want me to want it for something. So why did he offer the offering?
It's good for the
thank you for
Josh, it's obvious. It's an offering of thanks. Yeah, when you give an offering, a korban, an ola, a burnt offering to God, it's in a sense you're saying, really God, you should have taken me. Really God, I should be that offering. But instead, you're taking the animals. And it's a way of just saying, that's like a part sometimes, the chatas also, but it's just a way of offering gratitude, of giving of yourself to God. Now imagine also, how many cattle do you have? Seven. So you give some of them to God, to slaughter them for God, that's a big deal. Okay. Vayarach Hashem es reach hanicholach. God smelled the reach hanicholach. The wonderful smell. That's a good question. Meaning, we shouldn't simplistically say that it's just, the meat smells good to God. God doesn't like steak. He doesn't need it. Yeah. So what is the smell that it's referring to? Again, another anthropomorphism. What's the smell that it's referring to?
Of the mitzvah.
The spirit, right, the spirit of Noah. Noah's spirit of dedication to God. That's what the Kaddish Baruch Hu smelled. He didn't smell, an offering per se, but he smelled Noah's unending dedication to Kaddish Baruch Hu. I mean, you have to understand the ordeal he went through. How many years did it take him to build the ark?
44.
How many?
40.
Well, I thought it was only 20 also. A lot of years. A long time. He built the ark. He got the animal. I mean, first of all, you have to understand the ark itself was a miracle. It was an ace. You could never get all those animals in. And don't get me wrong. I don't know what kind of engineer Noah was. If you or I tried to build an ark like that out of wood, the minute you put it to water, it would
sink.
There's no way. I mean, it was just a big box. It's impossible. So the whole thing was miraculous anyway. But nonetheless, Noach showed dedication to God. So he said, Vayomer Hashem el libo. Where do we find that phrase, el libo?
You just said it before.
Oh, yeah, right. I'm pointing it out to you.
Right? Said to himself.
Vayachev el libo. God was said to himself. So now here, it's almost like the conclusion of El Libo. By Yomer El Libo, La Osiv Od Lekalel Et Adama, Od Et Adama Bavur HaAdam. I will no longer continue to curse the land because of man. Okay? Ki Yecher Lev HaAdam Ra Minu'urav. Because the heart of man is evil from his youth. La Osiv Od Lahakot Et Kochai Kasher Ashiti. And I will also not continue to curse man, curse living things, like I have done. Isn't it interesting? What do you think it means? Lo osif ol lekalel et ha'adama. That God decided he won't. I can't promise now. I decided about it now. What do you think it means that God now decided he's not going to curse the land anymore? Huh?
Man had to work the earth to get anything.
He had to work before. I mean, what was different?
He started anew.
Well,
he won't
punish them in this manner.
It's going to happen.
Right, so the simple interpretation is, I'm not going to bring down another flood. Mm-hmm. That's the simple interpretation. But why would you say it in this way? What was the curse of the land?
Referring maybe to Gan Eden, that from the time they left Gan Eden, they were cursed to work the land.
To work the land.
Yeah, no, we still work the land.
And we still work it, but...
So maybe that Rashi that I quote at the beginning is very important, because maybe between the time that Adam left Gan Eden and Noah, maybe the land really was quite cursed.
Think of Cain and Hevel.
Now, not Cain and meat, but even so, maybe they really had to kill themselves in order to sort of prosper. So if everybody's struggling, if everybody's really scraping, so what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. If you have a society where nobody's succeeding, what are they going to do?
Turn on each other.
Probably.
Maybe it was too hard.
Why did it take so many generations for somebody to come up with an idea for a plow? There were 10 generations.
I want to get away from the plow.
I know, but
let me get away from the plow.
I'm talking about the curse of the land.
Correct. So let's say if I took this passage literally and I said that the land was cursed from the time that Adam left Gan Eden until Noah left the Teva.
Right.
So what did people eat from the time when they left Gan Eden until the Teva? What did they eat?
Sure.
Whatever they could get. They couldn't farm, they couldn't plow, it didn't work. It wasn't effective. Whatever they planted, you got a quarter of it. They would just scrape together whatever they could to get by. So what kind of society would that produce?
An evil society.
It would produce a violent society. If you couldn't support yourself, when I can't support myself, what do? I go get it from whoever I can. And who prevails? The strongest.
Yeah.
If you look at Bereshit in that light, if you look at the parts of Bereshit, what happened to Cain and Lamech and all those people? They had spears, they had enemies, they had fights. So maybe Kadosh Baruch Hu said the curse was too much. The curse was appropriate for Adam, but it was too much for everybody else. It's too much to expect people to build the world based on that. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Adam, "Lo osiv od lekalel et ha'aretz." I'm not going to curse the world anymore.
The land.
The land anymore.
But again, you're not getting into the whole problem of did God make a mistake by cursing the land?
Oh.
And now he's correcting it?
Well, what you'd have to say is that it's not that God made a mistake, but that God's expectations for man was unable or unwilling to live up to it. Man was unable to rise to the occasion to the level that God had expected of him. Meaning, perhaps God felt in order for them to re-merit Gan Eden, they're going to have to live without the benefits of Gan Eden, and if they survive, then the Kadosh says, okay, you survived, you can come back in. Right? That was terrible, you can come back in. But what does Cain do and all his children do? They go off and they become more and more evil. So God can't let them back into Gan Eden. So what do? You're kind of, they're stuck in this terrible situation. I don't know, I've never seen this before. I have to do a little more research into seeing what does it mean that I'm not going to curse the land anymore. Did God in some way reverse the curse? If you ask me today, is the land cursed? Is the earth cursed?
No, I don't think so. I'm saying
no. Is that a curse?
No.
Well, b'zeat apecha tochal lechem is a curse. Hold on. Curse of California. No, that's not what we're talking about.
No, it's a made fire.
It's
a curse that you have to work it, and if you do work it, you can get a benefit.
Here.
It's not like you just touch on
the boom,
and you can go out and get a benefit. Lo tocha minenu. Arura ha'adama. The land will be cursed because of you. Be'itzavon. Tochalena kol yemei chayecha. In sadness you will eat from it. The coach the dardar tatsmiach lach. Right? You're going to have thorns and pricklies that are going to grow out of the land for you. V'achalta et esev hasadet. You plant wheat.
You get grass.
Gornis. What are you going to eat? You're going to scrounge for food. B'zeat apecha tochal lechem ad asufa v'adama. So we always quote that b'zeat apecha. It's the sweat of your brow. You're going to eat bread. Maybe what it really means was the earth was really, really cursed. And that it was, you know, it was almost too difficult. That man was not able to live on, to subsist on that kind of, on that kind of diet without that kind of subsistence, and also prosper in a religious way.
So was it their fault?
Let's not talk about fault.
They had no...
Was it Chava's fault that she ate from the fruit?
Was it Shahara?
Yes. Yeah.
Serpent
no,
was enticing.
Well, now, if what I'm saying is true, then you'd have to say that the odds are stacked against men. So if the odds are stacked against somebody, you're born in a slum, you go to public school, you have a terrible education, people around you are doing drugs in gangs. So now, if you become a member of a gang and you get into, and you know, you start doing drugs or dealing drugs and end up in jail, is it your fault?
Still your fault. You're supposed to rise up above all these things.
Well, you're a product of your
environment.
Is it your fault?
Is it nature or nature?
Still your fault. Are you responsible?
You're still responsible. Yeah.
So that was a curse.
You had a choice.
Yes. That was a curse. Maybe the curse was God said, "I'm going to stack the odds against you. You have responsibility, and I want you to rise." How did Noah rise to the occasion? Here's one out of, you know, the diamond in the rough that was able to overcome it all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to get that scholarship and go to college and, you know, rise to the ranks and be that person. I understand your question. It's a difficult question. But you see here later on that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he says, V'lo osif od l'kalel et ha'aretz. L'kalel ha'adama v'avor ha'adam. I can't curse the ground because of man. Why? Ki yetzer leif ha'adam v'ra minu rav. Because man was unable to deal with it.
Because God created him like that.
Well, right. So therefore, v'lo osif l'hakot et kol ha'chai kasher asiti. By the way, and it's also interesting to know, I mean, to suggest this, what does Noach do the minute he leaves the teva?
He brings him to the korban.
After the korban. Aviva, what does he do? Forget what he plants. He plants.
But he plants, yes.
Who planted before this?
Adam.
The only one person that we know of planted.
Oh.
Cain was an Oved Adama.
Yeah.
Okay. Right? Everybody falls Cain for being an Oved Adama. What kind of plants did Cain get out of the ground? Pretty bad. What does Noach get?
Grapes.
And not just grapes. You know what kind of grapes you have to get to make wine? You plant grapes. And tell me how well your wine comes out.
It all depends on so many varieties.
On the soil and the dish and the
weather and the rain and the temperature.
And the everything. But, maybe it was bad wine. I don't know.
But on the other hand, Hashem dropped the curse
in my yard.
On the other month.
I'm suggesting. Well, Hashem clearly, whatever that was. So you can either say that God said, I'm not going to receive the kalela to Arech means I'm not going to bring another flood. But it doesn't seem like that to me. You understand why it doesn't seem like that to me? It seems to be something that relates to the original curse.
Yeah.
So whatever it was, God then had said, I'm going to remove it. Because
something would have to change.
But something else changes too.
Right back to where you were before.
Correct. But what else changes? What else changes?
How many years
later? What else changes? Pasagala, skip Pasagala. Vayvarach Elohim et Noach, I'm running out of time. Vayvarach Elohim et Noach, Vezbanav, Vayamalahem, Peru, Uvu, Mulat Aretz. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the world. Umarachem, if you send Yeah, Kol Chayat Haaretz, Vakov, Ova, Shamayim, your fear and your dread will be on all the animals. Bechol Asher Tzimosa Adama, Bechol Bigay Ayah, Be'etchem Itanu. You're controlling the earth. You're in charge. Same as Adam, right? Pretty much the same. But you can eat anything that crawls. Ki yerek eshev natati lachem et kol. Like yerek eshev. By the way, where do we have that phrase of yerek eshev? Of eshev?
In the creation.
Where? No. But where? In the curse. What was the curse God said? One second. He said, "V'kosu d'adar tatsmiach." 1 second. "V'achalta et eshev hashadeh." You'll eat the grass of the field. And now God says, what can you eat? You can eat anything like before you ate the eshev. Fine, let's go on. "Ach, but everything is the same. I'm going to reinstitute the earth, but..." There's a big but.
Flesh. There has to be a meat.
Yes. There are some rules. Right? What are the rules? What is that? Says Rashi. Asar lahem eiver min hachai. There's going to be some rules, right? Now God says, if I'm going to reinstitute the world and we're going to start over, I have to give you a benchmark which to judge yourself. It's a pretty straightforward benchmark. Right? What are these benchmarks? What's that? What else? The aches tinchal nashol shechem edros. Miyakol chaya adreshenu. Meaning, don't murder, because if you cause blood from somebody else, God says, I'm going to take it from you. No murder. Shofech dam ha'adam ba'adam demo yishafech. Whoever sheds blood of man, by man shall blood he shall be shed. Why? Ki b'tshelem elokim asa et ha'adam. I created you in my image. And you're going to have to start acting that way. Then, by temporu revu, shirchu el ha'ararach irrevuba. What changed? Two things changed. One, probably the earth changed. But more importantly than that, what changed? I believe the code changed. The rules changed. When God kicked man out of Gan Eden, go ahead. I'm very upset with you. Get out.
He didn't give him rules.
And he said, go do whatever you have to do to survive. So man, when you do that, when you don't give him a spiritual outlet which to soar to the heavens, what's man going to do? He's going to descend to the depths.
Yeah.
He's going to be not much more than an animal. There, Kaddish Baruch Hu says, you've got to be different than animals. In fact, I give you dominion over all the animals. But if I'm going to give you dominion over all the animals, if you're going to be controlling of the animals, then you better not act like one.
Behave like a mensch.
Behave like a man.
Live by the rules.
Be like a mensch. And God gave them the tools to do it. There's only one problem. What's the problem?
Why didn't you do it before?
What?
Why didn't you do it before?
The tools to do it. Why didn't you do it before?
Yeah.
Well, clearly God had done it before, but Adam rejected it. It only lasted a couple hours. Right? But Adam had rejected it.
But there were 10 generations in between.
Sometimes you could pay 1,000 years for 10 minutes of sin. No?
Imagine of...
See, we like to think that everything, you know, we like to live in a society where everything happens in 10 minutes. You know, you make a mistake? Ah, sorry. Got to fix it. Can we, you know, take care of it? Can we just make it better? The answer is, no, sometimes you can't. Sometimes there are ramifications to the mistakes that we make. And it's not realistic or fair of God, if you say to God, well then, you know, God, how come you don't fix it? Sometimes the only way to fix it is, you know, in a sense, to start over. Right? God's punishing of Adam and Chava isn't just God's wrath, oh, I'm really mad at you, bam. It's a result. You know, you were in Gan Eden. You had it all. And you gave it up. You gave up the highest spirituality and I have to kick you out. Actually, you can't have Gan Eden anymore. Now you're stuck outside of Gan Eden. And you're going to have to deal with the ramifications of what that means. And the Kaddish Baruch Hu sees that the ramifications, they don't go anywhere. They're not getting any better. And a man is not going to pull himself up out of the muck. So he finds one man and builds an island and says to that man, you're going to start again and we're going to have to change the rules. But it clearly wasn't intended the way it was supposed to be. It's supposed to be Gan Eden. And we're not supposed to eat from that fruit. And we're supposed to bask in God's glory. So whose fault is that? Is that God's fault or is it our fault?
Man's fault.
Man's fault. All depends on how you look at it. What's the problem? The problem with Parshas Noach is, still men, I mean, they were better, but they're unable to really rise above. It's not enough. So what has to happen? Correct. It's not enough. You need to have a representative in the world that's going to really be God's prophets for the rest of the world. It's not enough. Seven mitzvot enough. Man alone is not enough. There's got to be someone there hacking him and hacking him and hacking him. And who gets to do that? Whose job is that?
The rabbis.
The Jews.
No, Abraham,
etc. The Jews. That's our job. Our job is to remind the world of what we're here for. Oh, yeah.